So today we are wrapping up our series called Courageous Homes. And we've talked about how throughout this year, we have talked about Joshua, and our key verse for the whole year has been Joshua 1:9. This is my command: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we have talked about how we want to be more courageous in our lives. We want this year and the years following this year to be our most courageous years. Of course, the only way for that to truly happen is to grasp on, to cling to trust that God is with us wherever we go. That is it. The promise of Joshua is our promise too. In this series, we have talked about where being courageous starts. We have talked about how being courageous starts at home. We have talked about starting where we are. And so the first week we talked about being courageous in our marriage. Last week we talked about being courageous in our singleness. So this week, of course, we're going to talk about being courageous in our families. Fitting that today is Big Block Bash, right? Our big outreach family event. That we're going to talk about this. A big family outreach event where we can share the love of Christ with everyone that we come in contact with, everyone who steps foot on our campus. We are excited about that. So today's scripture comes from the book of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. It says, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on this earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Really, the scripture is pretty simple to understand. And really, all of it, the whole thing, is for parents. First, parents, teach your children to obey. Teach your children to honor their parents. And you're going to say to me, wait, that's not what it says. That's not what it says here. That verse is for children to obey their parents. And you're right. But when your kids are in your care, who is ultimately in charge and responsible for their actions? Who is it? Is it the kids? No, it's you. So, yes, children, obey your parents. But parents, teach your children to obey their parents, to honor their father and mother. This verse isn't for children when they are grown and out of the house. No, this verse is for when you have kids in your house, under your care. Now listen, I'm not really one to talk here. I'll just be honest. This week was Evelyn's birthday. So, we had a family little get-together. And then yesterday, we had a friend birthday party, which is a lot of work, and I don't know if we're ever going to do that again. And then today was Big Block Bash. Oh, and then we had 52 kids at Kids Zone. It's been a crazy, hectic week. And I'll tell you something. Friday night, which is Evelyn's birthday, so Friday we celebrated Evelyn's birthday. We went to the McClellan's house, and they were so gracious to give our daughter her dream. She got to ride a horse. And we bought her some riding boots, and we gave them to her on the way and said, "Hey, you're going to need these." And she's like, "For what?" And she's like, "You're just going to need them. Put them on." So we got her some riding boots, and she had jeans on, brand new jeans, and a jean vest jacket thing, and so she was a double denim, right? So she was a real cowgirl, and Mike was so great. He he just put her up on the horse, and he rode around. He led the horse around, and then he got up, and he galloped, or I don't know, trotted with, I don't know, something, right? All I know is now she wants a horse, which you knew was going to happen, right? So anyway, so that happens. She goes to school. We bring brownies and stuff, and so she gets all sugared up there. Then she comes home. We have dinner. We have the dinner of her choice, which I'm proud of my daughter in this. She chose meatloaf, which is awesome. And then so she chooses meatloaf. We do the cake, and we do the presents, and she gets her dream again. She gets a walking, talking spirit horse and rider, and so she's playing like crazy with that. And then it's like 8 o'clock, it's bedtime, we're like, okay, it's time for bed, and you guys know what happens, right? All that sugar, all that stimulation, all that everything, and she just went ballistic. And I'm like, I'm going to have to spank my daughter on her birthday. This is crazy, right? Not the good kind of spanks, right? Like, and she just went crazy. And I'm so here I am. I'm telling you now. And I'm like, now I'm preaching a sermon on parenting, or you know, like that's not the best. But here's the deal. I am okay in this. Is that I don't do anything, preach anything out of me. I preach out of the Word of God. And I feel like if I preach out of the Bible about what God says about being a parent, I'll be all right. Right? So, the second part of this verse is it says, secondly, fathers, which are parents, treat your children well with godly discipline and teaching. Really, what comes to my mind this whole time was Proverbs 22:6, which probably most of you guys know, which is train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Right? You guys remember that. You guys know that verse. It sums up what Paul is saying here really nicely. So years ago, I don't know if he's still on TV or not, years ago I loved a show called The Dog Whisperer. You guys, anybody remember this show by Cesar Millan? I loved it. I watched it when it first came on, and I haven't watched it for years, but I love dogs, and I love watching what he could do to turn dogs around, and I love the show because he was so quotable. His quotes are like gold, and they're not for dogs, they're for people. Here's what he said. He said, every show, he said that dogs need three things. He said dogs need rules, boundaries, and limitations, right? That's what he always said. The rules, boundaries, and limitations. Here's the secret. That is true for kids, too. Your kids need rules, boundaries, and limitations, right? That is what they need. I'm not saying that children are dogs. Don't hear me in that. But children are a million times more valuable than dogs and precious. But what he is saying is so right. Children need to follow Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. However, children need to be taught to obey their parents. Children need to be instructed to honor their father and mother. In other words, they need to be trained up in the way that they should go. And I know some of you are saying, hey, you have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. You have it easy when it comes to this stuff. Well, you talk to me when you have teenagers, right? I know. I was a youth minister. I'm not even close to being done raising my kids. And maybe I'm just fooling myself, but I find when I stand on what the Word of God says, I can't go wrong. If I follow the principles laid out in the Scriptures, that never fails me. I also know that when things aren't going well, it is probably because I'm straying from what God's Word tells me to do. So here I am this morning, standing on the Word of God. So here's what I gather from Ephesians 6. Parents, we are to model Jesus to our kids. We are to model Jesus to our kids. Look at verse 4. Parents, do not provoke anger. Do not provoke anger in your children by the way you treat them. Instead, treat them in such a way not to provoke anger. with discipline and instruction. If we break this down logically, the goal of our parenting style is discipline and instruction. If everything else is what causes anger. If we don't have discipline and instruction in our parenting, good luck. I know this because there are times when I don't have as much discipline and instruction and my kids start running the crazy house, right? I totally get that there are seasons like this, really busy, Evelyn's birthday, big block bash, kids zone, craziness. I get that. And maybe it's harvest, or maybe it's getting ready for a big cattle sale, or maybe it's tax time, or you have a huge deadline at work, and everything is riding on this. And you think about those times, and probably during those times, it's late nights and early mornings and skipping meals or meals on the fly. Now think about those times when it comes to your home life. How's your discipline? How's your kids' discipline? Chip Ingram said this. He said, discipline doesn't mean punishment. Biblical discipline, when applied with love, grace, and mercy, leads kids toward obedience and wisdom. Or to borrow a quote from Signor Milan one more time, he says, love is leading. People think it has to be two different roles, but it is the same. Discipline isn't about showing who's boss. It's about taking responsibility for a living creature you have brought into your, or I'll change it to the, world. It won't happen overnight. It can take a long, long time. However, our jobs as caretakers is to provide a stable, consistent home for our children. And when we have lived, when we live disciplined lives, when we lead our children to be disciplined, to accept instruction, to honor their father and mother, you know what happens? They do that. They follow that. They instill that in their kids. That is how we love them. Fathers, sorry to break this to you, but you are your children's example of what God is like. I'm sorry. Dads, your relationship with your kids is the picture they will think of when they begin thinking about their own relationship with God. You don't believe me? Talk to my wife. She can tell you all about her relationship with her dad and how her relationship with her dad has caused problems for her when she learns to trust God. She'll tell you all about it. Love your family by being disciplined and receiving instruction well, and in turn raising your kids to be disciplined and then receive instruction well. And when we do that, parents, that is when we teach them God's law. God's laws, which are good and just and fair. You know the ones. The ones that Charlton Heston broke after he came down the mountain, right? Jesus said that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He didn't come to get rid of the Ten Commandments, but to show us what it was like to live them out perfectly. And one of those Ten Commandments, Paul quotes here, honor your father and mother. Paul then goes on to say in verse 3 that this verse comes with a promise. And if we honor our parents, meaning we live a life where we accept their discipline and instruction, then life will go well for you. So to wrap up this morning, here are some thoughts about creating courageous families. Number one, courageous families play together. I want to be the Ramsey family, right? I do. Every time I turn around, they're doing something together. They're golfing together, which I heard sometimes ends in fist fights. But they're doing something together. Man, I want that in my family. You want a close family? Play together. A great thing happens to families. I was reading this article and it said this. A great thing happens to families when they play together. They begin to talk and laugh and lighten up. Family memories are built. Inside jokes are shared. Serious moments of intimacy are communicated. Families need special times together to build lifelong memories and to play together. As most experts will tell you, a family that plays together stays together. But I would add that a family that plays together will also be much more happy and healthy. For many families, play is the missing ingredient that glues the family together. Play can even be open, it can even open closed spirits and heal broken marriages. Play together. And this is to me, this is so much to me. Get your head out of your phone. Get your mind off something else. Be present. Be with your children. And even though my daughter asked to play, she wants a mom or dad to play with her literally every waking moment she's up, right? I know we can't do that. But your kids aren't going to ask you that for a lot longer. They want you to be with them. They want you to be part of their lives. They want you to play with them. And when you do, you create memories join and bond you together. Number two, courageous families pray together. Our family prays before meals together. We pray before bed together. When Evelyn is having something happening at school and she's really nervous about it, we pray about it. We pray with her about it. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." I love that verse. I love it. Now, contextually, God is talking to the nation of Israel. He is telling them how he will forgive them as a people and restore them to their land. I understand that. But we are God's people now, right? That promises us too. Family stuff is hard. Family stuff is messy. And sometimes family stuff is really painful. However, if we, God's people, as a family of God's children, would stop and we would humble ourselves, if we would do that, if we would seek his face, if we would repent from our sin, God would hear us, he would forgive us, and he would heal our families. I believe that. Number three, courageous families pursue Christ together. So what causes a small young family who is living in upstate New York to move to a little town called Bowen? What happened? I've lived in this state for most of my life. I lived in Illinois for most of my life, unfortunately. And I had never heard of Bowen before. Not once. What causes a family to move? We lived in a three-bedroom apartment behind the parking lot of a Target, a grocery store, a Home Depot, a dollar store. A Kohl's, literally anything that we wanted, we could walk to, right? But we never did because there was 4 feet of snow on the ground. What causes a family to move? We were pursuing Jesus. We were pursuing Jesus. We were pursuing what Christ wanted from us. And I'm telling you right now, echoing through our heads was Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Folks, Heather and I looked at each other after we interviewed here. And we were offered the job. And we both looked at each other and we're like, I don't want to go to Illinois. But this is where God wants us. And coming up on our 3-year anniversary, there's not been one time where I have said to myself, this was a mistake. We as a family pursue Christ together. We go where He leads. And if you do that as a family, I promise you, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be, you're not promised no heartbreak. But here's the deal. If you go where Christ calls you, if you pursue Christ with everything you have, and as a family, your mission is to make Christ happy, you won't go wrong. You won't. You want to honor God with your families? You want to be a courageous family? Pursue Christ. He won't let you down.